At Kroger Pharmacy, CARE is making it easy to get vaccinated. CARE is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. CARE is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger Pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care, is in store. Visit Kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details.
What's up, you guys? Sean Rossap. Welcome to Fightful. It is July 3rd, 2024. Happy Canada Day, belated to all of those that are Canadian or just like the country like me. And Independence Day, by the time we are done with this, probably, because it's a wild-ass episode of AEW Dynamite. Man. You know what? I got live footage of Alex after the Jericho segment. We're going to cut to it. That is Alex Pawlowski.
Uh-huh. Yeah, that was
so excited to talk about Chris Jericho in this segment.
Yeah. Me.
Alex is here. You can see more of him.
I'm here. Yeah.
You can see more of him at FightfulSelect.com. Today we had a bit of an update, some additional news on Daniel Garcia's contract, which certainly pertinent tonight. On the Discord, I talked a little bit about Ricochet. I said that I did not expect him there tonight. Mm-hmm. Gonna have a little bit more on him on Independence Day. Alex, how you feeling?
I'm very, very, hopeful for the future after that final segment there. I thought that there was a lot of really good stuff looking forward to what's coming down the pike, in AEW for the rest of the summer and into the fall, and, Wednesdays, and Saturdays should be a blast.
Yeah, man, there is just a lot of stuff. Like, the show ended with three guys who should be near the top of AEW for, like, the next decade. And, man, we're here to talk about it. Leave a thumbs up on this video. I am in the comments after all of these chatting with you guys. So leave a comment on the video, too. Even if you're in the live chat, you can pull up the video and leave a nice little comment, help out our algorithm, share the video, all that good stuff. As mentioned, FightfulSelect.com. That's the most direct way to support us. If the last few weeks of stories have told you anything, especially with AEW, do not accept aggregators. Do not accept engagement accounts. There has been so much misrepresentation. And, you know, I'll have people say, well, you lock it behind a paywall. By God, you know what? It goes directly to over 10,000 people. And you can be one of them to get them directly on your phone, on your email, whatever that may be. Make sure you guys check it out. FightfulSelect.com. Somebody goes, what the heck is Sean looking at? Has he got a teleprompter or something? Well, this might be surprising to you guys, but when you do a show like this, the camera isn't directly in the middle of the screen that you're looking at. I have a giant screen all the way on the opposite end of my studio. My camera is right there. So just so you guys know. You can buy prompters and stuff like that for these, but you know what?
Good.
You all don't need to lovingly look into my eyes. You haven't earned that yet. This is free.
I guess take my little webcam here. I could put it like right here.
Yeah. Don't look them in the eye, Alex.
That way, that's because I could just, now I'm looking, like if my webcam wasn't here, I would be able to see your face. But
do you remember when we had the MMA podcast? There was a guy named Sean Pearson who used to fight in the UFC. We used to make fun of him because he had like the dong cam. It was like a POV from sitting right on top of his wiener. And we're like, Sean, would you change your damn thing? It's like on Tuesdays, we had Sean Pearson in his bald ass head with the camera near his crotch. Then the next day, it's like Elias Theodore, who rest his soul, in all of his beauty with his magnificent hair.
Magnificent hair.
Oh my God. Miss that guy every day. But Yeah, don't look at them in the eyes, Alex. They got to go behind the paywall if you want to look at us in our eyes.
All right.
You're not allowed to have that lust in your eyes for us like that, guys. So deal with me looking across the screen, okay?
There you go.
But leave that thumbs up. Get your super chats. Get your humper chats in. You may say, what the heck are those? YouTube.com/Fightful and humperchats.com. That's H-U-M-P-E-R. chats.com. It would mean an awful lot if you guys would do that. Also, I'll be doing some stuff peripheral to wrestling to benefit the Dementia Society of America. There is a tweet pinned at the top of my account. It would mean an awful lot if you guys would consider donating or just spread awareness of it. It's something that's very near and dear to my heart, so I would appreciate it if you guys would check that out. Today, I had the What Do You Guys Want to Talk About podcast, which is our Q&A show. I do one of those a week over on FightfulSelect.com, so check that out. But by God, we're here to talk AEW Beach Break. And Alex, this month for AEW looks loaded. This show this week, the Owen Finals next week.
Yeah.
Hearing some rumblings, unconfirmed, it is all speculation that they might have something interesting in store for July 17th. I haven't confirmed that. And then Blood and Guts, is that... That's at the end of the month, right? That's the next week.
This is the Bucks, the EVPs being fast and loose with their dialogue here. But they said to Hangman, hey, so Blood and Guts is in a couple of weeks.
Yeah. We'll
make it the 17th, but I think it's actually
24th. It is 24th.
They should be a little more specific with that, because I was like, oh, that's the big main event. No, it's not. It's a different week.
Yeah, man, I'm so excited to talk about this show. James said 5 out of 5. Enough said. And Danny Valentine says the way AEW has recalibrated their booking is pretty damn impressive. They have a lot of good stuff going on. All In is going to be a big night to remember. Best Dynamite since the first Grand Slam. This was, I thought, a phenomenal episode. There's some things that I didn't like. Alex and I were talking off the air about that, but I'll tell you that shit I do like, Alex.
Yeah.
Men's Owen Hart Foundation semifinal, Bryan Danielson defeated Pac. It's so funny because I was talking about Forbidden Door, and anybody who knows anything about Bryan Danielson knows that he does not like winning. And it's so funny because Cody Rhodes had that quote where he said, it's a red flag when people say that they are here just for the young guys. Meanwhile, when Bryan Danielson came to AEW, he said, I'm not here for the young guys. I want to beat them all. And he's the opposite. So did I think Danielson was going to lose at Forbidden Door? No. Did I think that he could shoot, lose on his own, go off the script, Russo style, and make Takagi pin him? And then they just fly Takagi out on a Thursday. Yeah. Sure. Yeah. I think that's possible.
But
we didn't get that. What we got was Danielson and Pac. And one of the things I always mention, Alex, when the first press conference happened, you didn't see like Jericho or the EVP saying, I want that world title. You saw Pac doing it. Since then, he has had one world title match, and it was at Double or Nothing a few years ago with Kenny and OC. Never a one-on-one. He's not getting it, because Danielson beat him, and this is exactly the type of match you want in this tournament.
Yeah, it's exactly the type, especially with when you have Danielson is still selling the Tiger Driver that he got from Will Ospreay in April. Like it hasn't gone away. Why? Because he keeps wrestling these matches, which of course won't allow it to heal. But because of all that, you get all these, you know, the commentary, like, oh, you can see the kinesio tape. Obviously, the marks from the cupping treatment he's received this week. Can't hide those. That's a big red flag there. Everyone can see, can hone in on that area. And so then he just gets to traumatize us several times a match and pretend like he's got a broken neck.
I don't buy it anymore.
Because he's a sicko. No.
Boy who cried wolf.
He is 100% the boy who cried possible paralysis. That is what he is. And he is that three times a match. I hope they have something really fun planned for Pac in Wembley. I don't know what it is. I don't know how you get there, but he should have a match at Wembley in some capacity. He deserves it. I don't think he was ever going to, the possibility of him beating Danielson wasn't viable, but he should have a really cool match for Wembley.
I agree. This match was phenomenal. I liked it. This sort of the quick pin gets it done for Danielson. As I often say, a good pin beating a good wrestler is completely fine by me. When I was younger, I was like, oh man, really? You don't see the finish and all that? No. Now that I can appreciate a good pin, right, I know that a good pin can beat a really good wrestler. I always go back to Diesel versus Bret Hart, how there was that small package pin, and the way that Diesel sold it was so good. It was so good. That's what I like to see, and I like that as well, because Danielson wins with all kinds of different things, whether it be basically the disarm her the other day,
his
pin today, the running by Sakuni on occasion as well. It's really good. Meet Norma says, I love a show that starts for the sickos. Pat Danielson was a humper. Promo code Fightful. Finishing a match with a strong pin works for me, brother. Indeed. It does work for you. Yeah.
Absolutely. And the thing of it is that we, like, man, there are a lot of people who never got past the man that gravity forgot, and they just still see Neville, the mighty mouse who can fly, and that whole thing. And you recognize watching a match against somebody like Danielson that, of course, he can fly if he would like to, but he also can ground you and do lots of cool submission move. The brutalizer that he uses is brutal. He's got good strikes. And what I love about the finish is, like, anytime Danielson was put in the brutalizer, he found a way to wiggle his way to the ropes or leverage it into a pinfall. But as soon as he put the label lock on Pac, Pac was like, no, I got that scouted. That's easy. I'm going to reverse that into a pin. What he didn't count on is Danielson knowing if he reversed it into a pin, this is how I reverse that pin into a pin. And Pac just got out scouted. Like, Pac says, at some point, he's going to put me in the label lock. This is how I get out of it. And Brandon Danielson is one step ahead of that, saying, if you reverse my move, here's my reversal to that reversal. And Pac wasn't prepared for it. That's amazing, overarching character development that allows you to believe that. Next time, if there's a next time, Pac would definitely not fall susceptible to that particular reversal. It's great stuff.
I think Brian Danielson goes on to All In.
I think so, too.
I would think that that would be like his last full-time match if they didn't have Wrestle Dream immediately following that.
Right.
Like,
this is why I think he does go to All In. And if he were to win the title at All In, and then he would be like, Birdie, I'm sorry. I know I promised I was coming home, and Daddy will come home. The next time somebody beats Daddy for this title, I'm coming home.
There you go.
And the next time he has a title defense would be at Wrestle Dream. Now, he'd obviously defend the title on a regular episode of Dynamite because he's a sicko. But the next big pay-per-view is Wrestle Dream in Seattle, where not only where he is from, but also where Swerve is from. If you figure out a way for Swerve to get a rematch, Swerve could just take the title right back from him and then hold. Like Revolution, where he loses it to Ospreay or whatever. Give Danielson 1 month with a title he never wanted. He says, I don't want to be the champion. It's like, tough cookies. You're going to be the champion anyway.
Yeah. And Luis mentions, well, the next big pay-per-view is All Out right after that.
Well, okay, yeah, after that week, after that weekend, yes.
Listen, this much I tell you, Brian Danielson is not retiring at All Out. That is not going to happen.
No.
Tom LaValle, I love this. He says they should reverse Montreal Screwjob Danielson. He thinks he's seen to lose titles. They do a fast count and he wins.
Yes. Yes.
Or surprise tap.
Yes. Yes.
Easy E has a phenomenal idea. Pac's Wembley opponent should be Ricochet.
That's amazing.
That's a really good one.
That would tear the roof. There's no roof on the place. It would tear the non-roof off the place. That would be so good.
Too late. Jericho already tore the roof off with Fozzy. Sorry.
Oh, no. Ricochet's first opponent's going to be Jericho. I just realized what they're going to do to him. That's what they're gonna do to Ricochet. Oh no! I can see it all now, Sean. I don't want to live in this world.
Oh my God. Did you see where Jericho was in Mexico and he did the gimmick where like all of his tattoos were out? Oh my God. It was so funny because my friend Chandler said one day they're going to do that and it's just going to be like the guitarist Rich Ward underneath the mask instead of Jericho. And then people are going to be really disappointed.
Really confusing.
Oh man. Jack Perry video package airs, but also Mark Briscoe enters a Blood and Guts. I love Mark Briscoe being in Blood and Guts. He is as big of a baby face as anybody in the company. Sure. Yeah. What'd you think about it?
I'm Mark Briscoe and I'm declaring for Team AEW. Shouldn't you be declaring for Team ROH? Like, shouldn't
he
you
should
be
doing,
like, I mean, you won the championship and everyone was really happy for you. And like, you don't appear on ROH programming. You've defended the title against Kyle Fletcher, I guess, once. But like, I mean, I don't know. Like, I feel for my broadcast partner, Kate Elizabeth, who has to watch that show every Thursday. She just wants the champions of that show to be exclusive to that brand while they're
tough
the
shit,
champions.
Kate. Tough shit, Kate. We're told that it's supposed. We're told that it's supposed to get more important soon. Otherwise, I'd have probably just already canceled that post show. But here we are. The Elite lay him out, and Kyle O'Reilly, and then Daddy Ass and the Acclaimed make the save. And
Mark Briscoe, love Mark Briscoe. I honestly think he's an inspired choice to be in a Blood and Guts style match because he's insane. Great stuff. Kyle O'Reilly's become like his little, like his pseudo tag team partner who follows him around saying this guy's conglomeration promos are amazing. I'll follow this man everywhere. I see him coming out and doing that. I'm like, oh, this kind of signifies Kyle O'Reilly being that. He was in a lot of War Games matches in NXT. That kind of works. And then the Acclaimed come out for the save. And I'm like, okay, now I'm going to draw the line because I don't care who the fifth guy is. If four of the five guys are Briscoe, Kyle O'Reilly, who was recently one-armed, and Max Caster and Anthony Bowens, that feels like the JV All-Stars versus the Elite. Like, the fifth guy they get is going to be amazing. The Elite get. So I feel like that's not really... When I hear Team AEW, I feel like the top guys in AEW should be fighting for the existence of the company. And these guys, to me, just don't feel like the top guys in AEW. I really like Mark Briscoe. I love Kyle O'Reilly. Don't really like the Acclaimed. But they're hugely over. I get that. They just feel like the top guys in the company to me.
I agree. I don't... I mean, the Acclaimed are getting good reactions, but it's just not there for me as...
Right.
As far as the Briscoe or the Briscoe thing, I think that it would have been great if he said, you know what? People don't identify me as an AEW guy a lot of times, but they picked me up when my family was at our lowest. And he wants to sort of defend that. Alex, do you know what I badly want to see ahead of Blood and Guts?
What is that?
I want to see Mark Briscoe at sort of a low point, and Kyle O'Reilly has a person. To give him a pep talk. Somebody we don't realize that Mark Briscoe is a huge fan of.
Yeah.
Jim Parsons of Big Bang Theory.
Oh, great.
Of which I think is the worst television show ever. I find it completely unfunny.
Got it.
But I have a theory that Mark Briscoe is a secret genius, much like R-Truth.
Right.
And I want a series of backstage segments where they're just talking about this shit. And one, Jim Parsons has no clue because he just pretends to be smart. Mark Briscoe's actually smart. I want the crossover there. I want to see what kind of numbers that does. We're talking about Big Bang Theory lead-ins. Get the man on the show. Get the man on the show. Give him the rub. That's what I want to see. I don't think it's going to happen, but...
I don't think it's going to happen either.
That's what I want to see. Up next, we got... Actually... Anywhere worth going is worth going in good boots, and you can find your perfect pair at Tecovas. Tecovas crafts quality Western boots for everyone, from generational ranchers and lifelong cowboys to first-time boot buyers, which is what I was up until a couple of years ago. Growing up in Kentucky, you see boots everywhere. but I never jumped into the game until I found Tecovas, and I love it. Every one of Tecovas boots are handcrafted with over 200 meticulous steps for broken-in comfort right out of the box. Whether it's a long day or a big night, your Tecovas are built to last and impress. That's why Esquire loves them and says they're the reason we keep coming back to Tecovas. They are so comfortable. Plus, with Tecovas' best in the West guarantee, you get free returns and exchanges for 30 days. And right now, get 10% off at tecovas.com/SRS when you sign up for email and text. That's 10% off at tecovas.com/SRS. That's tecovas.com/SRS. See site for details. Tecovas, point your toes west.
Save big money this October at Menards. October is Fire Safety Month. From smoke and carbon monoxide alarms to fire extinguishers and more, Kidde home safety products keep your family protected in case of emergencies. Get a Kidde direct wire smoke alarm. A hardwired smoke alarm also has a AA battery backup for coverage in case of power outages. Save big at Menards and check out our weekly flyer on Menards.com for more great deals.
Save big money at Menards.
We got Richie saying, is there any way we can get out of the Acclaimed and Blood and Guts? I love Bowens, but I can't buy into them for a brutal match like that. Yeah, but I mean, a lot of people can't buy into the Bucks in a match like that, despite them having so many of them. Right. I mean, I'm open to giving them a chance in that situation. It's just I'm not as interested in them in that.
Right.
Maddie Nice says, OC needs to be in Blood and Guts. I mean, he is as AEW as anybody at this point.
Yeah, he is. He is. That's a guy I feel like is a top AEW guy since the beginning. He would feel like he would want to defend the honor of the company from the evil EVPs, you know.
Mariah May and Toni Storm interview. Anything on this one?
I'm disappointed that it's on Rampage, her and Shida. Like, especially if, as I believe, we're getting Mariah May winning the whole deal and then going on to face Toni Storm, if she's going to win the Owen and then be in, you know, the women's title match in the biggest show of the year in Wembley, then you should be making her matches feel really important. Every one that she has between now and All In, and just sticking it on a Rampage just feels like it's not. And I think also that match between Mariah May and Shida is going to be great. Like, it needs to be really good. Live show. It should be on a live show.
And it's going to be the biggest win probably of her career up to that point. Like,
yeah.
And I would have preferred that to Joe, Hook, and Shibata against Cage of Agony, all due respect to those involved. But
well, especially Omar, that match was longer than it needed to be, for sure.
Exactly. Omar God says, what's up, you guys? Great show. As a Londoner who clearly suffers from insomnia, I'd rather see Danielson versus Swerve than Hanger. What could Hangman do at All In if that happens? What could Danielson do if vice versa? Nigel? Yeah, I think Nigel McGuinness would be something very interesting for him at All In, but I think it's going to be Swerve versus Danielson. I'm not sure what Hangman does at All In. That's a very good question. What would you have in mind for Hangman if that doesn't go his way?
That's a really good question. He'll probably wind up in some, you know, multi-man tag, because they're going to do four of those on the show. He'll do something.
I swear to God, if they're still doing the Acclaimed by then, mm-hmm. I'm gonna flip out.
Yeah, no, that they need to be well past the Acclaimed at the point when All In happens. I don't, you know, like, I don't know. There's. How close is Mark Davis to coming back? Can we get them versus the Bucks? I want that.
I don't think he's going to be back by then, but
too bad.
You know what? I'm not willing to call myself a betting man on that one, but with some other things I am.
Whoa, you can bet on wrestling?
Yeah, you can at BetOnline.ag. We've given you a bunch of underdog picks over at Fightful since we started to work with BetOnline.ag, but well before they were a partner, that's where we got our odds from for years. Whether it be major shows, or your Continental Classics and other things like that, they always have a bunch of interesting odds for you over at BetOnline.ag. But it's not just that. Payouts in minutes, high credit card acceptance, a safe and secure environment, and they've been trusted for over 25 years. They got the earliest lines, the fastest payouts, and the ability to bet on wrestling. How cool is that? If you think you know so much about this, go put your money down. Go do it. Show the world. Please bet responsibly and only bet what you can. BetOnline.ag.
They have Money in the Bank odds up right now, including some prop odds and NXT Heatwave. Check it out. BetOnline.ag. Jey Uso just moved ahead of Drew McIntyre as the favorite in the men's Money in the Bank match. Braun Breaker took a more firm lead ahead of Sami Zayn as well. Those are ones to look out for. They also have good prop odds on will Roman Reigns appear and will CM Punk get involved. Bill says Briscoe explaining quantum thermodynamics. That is exactly what I want out of him. I want him to be smarter than everybody on the show. That would be great.
Of course, he would just say Bazinga a lot, though. You know what I mean? Especially with the no teeth. It would sound very funny if Mark Briscoe was saying Bazinga.
That would be the first time I ever laughed at somebody saying that. ever.
Uh-huh.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
There was a really good Willow promo. She is so natural.
She's great.
She's unbelievable on promos. Now, also, earlier today, there was a hilarious video of Stokely Hathaway and Chris Statlander posted where they went to go visit the kids at the wrestling club. And Stokely's like, we're just doing this for good PR. I'm doing this for the hoes. And then, as it turns out, the kids had found out that Stokely was coming and they left, which is really, really good stuff. The promo work has been really, really good out of all these guys and girls.
Oh, for sure. It's a great storyline. They're doing really good stuff on the mic to accelerate it.
And then the match, Willow Nightingale defeated Chris Statlander, of which featured an F5, one of the only ones you're going to see these days. But Willow Nightingale, Chris Statlander, a feud that has been built on the undercard without a title, and you get not a sense of finality because it's not going to be over, but you get that here. It feels like a pay-per-view worthy match because of the way that they have built it, Alex. And this is what I keep saying that AEW needed to do for a long time. And I wish WWE would go back to doing building the undercard elements of this. And it's like, okay, well, normally in this undercard match, there wouldn't be stakes, but yes, there are stakes because they carried this over into this. I think that Chris Jericho should have had something in the Owen, considering his history with the Hart family, his history as a former champion. That didn't end up happening, but we did end up getting stuff like this, which I think goes a long way in conveying the importance of the tournament and adding to a story like this.
I thought the match was amazing, and I love Willow. I think Stat should have won. I think that she needed the win more than Willow to extend the feud. I think probably what they have her cost Willow in the match versus Mariah in the finals, which is very facile and easy and lazy to me. What I would much rather have is Statlander win this, Mariah win her side of the bracket, and then you have Stat versus Mariah, and we haven't seen that kind of a match for Mariah. Also, the heel versus heel alignment makes the fans choose Mariah to root for because we can't root for Stat because of what she did to Willow. So we realize, hey, it's fun to root for Mariah May, which when she wins that, we're excited for her, and we get to carry that over to that build for Mariah May versus Toni Storm. If you have Willow, ultimate babyface, get cost the match by Statlander against Mariah May, who will be nominally working heel in ostensibly working heel in that match versus Willow. I don't think it builds to the Mariah May versus Toni Storm thing that I want so much as well. But I can say nothing bad about this match and everything that they did within it. I thought Willow and Stat both killed it. personally, I would have rather gone the other way, but I will wait and see what they do with it. If it's just Willow fights Mariah May and Stat costs Willow, I think that's incredibly easy. It just, you could do other things.
We got an anonymous humper chat that says the hate AEW gets doesn't make sense to me. Since All Out 2023, AEW has been pretty amazing. And while WWE is better, it still doesn't hold a candle, but what do I know? Anyway, long live Fightful, the best wrestling news source. Well, thank you so much for that great compliment. I appreciate it. Listen, wrestling is subjective, and that's the beautiful part of it. If you think that this is better than what you're seeing on WWE, more power to you, and vice versa. I know that a lot of people waited an awful lot long time for WWE to do, much less just be passable, much less good, and they are really enjoying it right now. And again, that's the beauty of pro wrestling. There's a whole lot of people that will go to a deathmatch show this weekend and say that it's the best stuff that they watch, and I won't agree, and other people won't agree, but that's their opinion, and I certainly respect that.
I'm sorry, I'm gonna call attention to this. Critique an episode without bringing up my own fantasy booking challenge. Listen, if you're critiquing something and don't offer something instead, then you're just shitting on stuff.
It's, and I, why pride, we have-
I pride myself on saying, I don't think I liked this because I think if they had done this, that might have been better. If you just say, I don't like this, well, that's not constructive in the least. And the people who like to tear me down on the internet think that that is me, but they're just not familiar with my work. Because over there, whenever I say, I don't like this, I say, do this instead. I think it would be better. I never say this is crap and then leave it there. I like putting something else out there as an alternative. You're free to disagree with me, but I don't like saying this is crap and then nothing. So that's just
we have literally recited six or seven different lines on our podcast that got used the next week. Yeah. Like sometimes these ideas get through. We would want Alex to provide his thoughts because, hey, listen, sometimes it's a better idea. Sometimes they could have went here.
It's just an alternative. Like presenting, sure, this is what they did. Here's another way they could have gone. Which do you individually like better? And you don't have to like my idea better, but I just like that there's alternatives. Here's another way they could have gone. I think that's important that you look at any kind of professional wrestling booking, yeah, like that. What would the alternatives be? That's it.
So, I mean, listen, I manage 40 people on a daily basis. If somebody came to me and they said, this sucks, I would look at him and be like, thanks for that.
Yeah.
If they offered me a solution, well, that's a lot more helpful. And you know what? I can speak to Kate offering solutions almost daily as well.
Yeah.
Carlos X Cervantes says, what about the Lucha Bros in the Blood and Guts match? Yeah, I would much prefer that. I would prefer that. A couple of originals.
They have so much history. They have so much history with the Bucks too.
Yes. The tag division is obviously weak with all the injuries and no Motor City Machine Guns. I know it's wishful thinking to get rid of the Acclaim, but in the Penta's contract seems like a way better option to me. Carlos, I completely agree with you. Thank you for the humper chat. I think that the Lucha Bros make an awful lot of sense. I know that online, the audience is much more down on the Acclaimed than the live audience because mm-hmm. they do still get great pops.
Right.
It's just, I feel like they have run it into the ground with Daddy Ass, especially.
Yeah.
Maybe they go heel. Maybe they do something else. I'd like to see something different. Well, by God, Britt Baker's back. So throughout her absence, people, so I'm going to tie this into something else. On Tuesday, I broke a story that I actually heard about a little bit before Forbidden Door, because a question that I kept getting asked was, why did this match happen here instead of All In? So somebody, and actually multiple somebody, said, well, after winning the international title, Will Ospreay saw a lot of talk online saying that his friend Swerve was only a placeholder for him to win at All In, which was never the plan. And he said, well, if we're not doing it All In, we're not doing it immediately after that, why the hell aren't we just going to do it? Why not do it now? I can afford to lose to him.
Sure.
If that's what people want so bad, let's give him the match. I'll lose to him. I had people saying like Will planted that. But let me tell you, he don't give a shit about stuff like that. But there was a lot of why did this get out type of thing? Because I asked. Now, keep in mind, I got people asking me on a weekly basis to update them on Britt Baker's personal health and injury status, which for our viewers and readers, I completely understand and I completely get. I won't say it was well known within wrestling. People knew about some of the hardships that she faced. It was quite a while back, the issue that she talked about. And I'm like, man, I get asked to prod about personal health issues. Of course, we're going to ask about injuries and all that, but also we're going to ask about storyline stuff as well. And you see why we can't always, you know, really put that out there. What Britt Baker went through was a very serious thing. And I've interviewed Britt a number of times and, you know, Britt, because of the reality show and the Thunder Rosa stuff, has she rubbed some people the wrong way in the past? Sure. However, I made a comment last year. If people knew a fraction of the things that Britt Baker had experienced, gone through, or was subjected to, they would probably understand why she has her guard up. And I think that's something that should be looked at with personality types like that. And what she did was highlight the fact that she had effectively a mini stroke in addition to, by the way, two herniated discs, a hip labrum injury, but she had a transient ischemic attack. And that's a warning sign for a stroke, effectively a mini stroke, spent numerous days in the hospital.
Yeah.
There's other stuff that she went through last summer that is just nuts. And not only is she back, she is shredded, insane. I get upset when I see her posting that she's eating Big Macs on her Instagram story. I roll up to her at conventions. She's eating fruit by the foot. I'm like, what the hell's going on here? What kind of toothpaste you using?
Yeah.
What's going on here? She looked incredible. I mean, I'm so glad to see her back. I bet for her that hearing those chants and hearing that reaction tonight and Sunday probably meant so much to her, and I'm so glad to see her back. So before we get into the context of the promo, we can talk a little bit about her absence. Alex, I mean, she looks great. She, you know, it's been a while, but Britt Baker's back, and that is a big one to have back for AEW.
Remember when she like broke her leg or whatever, and she was still on the show every week?
Like, I told a story on Sunday. I was at that convention interviewing her, and David Koechner from Anchorman walked by, and she knows him.
Right.
And she was like, hey, Koechner, come to dinner with me and my friends later. And he sarcastically said, I can't. I broke my leg. And she goes, I remember when I broke my leg once, and then I finished wrestling a match. And he goes, no, you didn't. And I was like, yeah, she did. And by the way, her wrist and her nose and all that stuff.
Yeah.
It was a lot, you know?
Yeah. The fact that, you know, like she still finished out a bunch of stuff with a broken wrist. Also that she was in a wheelchair and made that part of her whole thing. Remember the role model gimmick? Like, it has felt like forever since she's been off TV, because whenever she probably should have been off TV, she was like, no, I'm still coming to work. Like, and it, so she was always here, always.
Yeah.
It's so good to have her back. The music, man, that's like the Doctors Will See Iconic. You Now. And it is. Everybody, when you know, at Forbidden Door, when the music hit, like everyone went insane. It's so good to have her back. Such a scary thing to happen to you. Like, you figure, like, that's one of those things where, like, oh, well, that's it. That's my career. Listen, there's no way I can wrestle with this kind of thing until you see a doctor who's like, well, yes, you can come back from it. It's a risk or whatever. But, like, that's got to be the first time somebody tells you you had a mini stroke. All of a sudden, like, your entire career's got to flash before your eyes.
These like, I think it's Trevor Dame maybe pointed it out. He's like, these return promos in AEW get a little more more psychotic each time. It's like diverticulitis. Britt Baker almost had a stroke. Ricky Starks is going to come back and be like, guys, I was gone because I got sent back in time to World War II. And we're all going to be like, oh my, World War II?
He's just,
Jesus.
He shows up missing, he's missing a limb. And he's like, yeah, it was gangrene set in. They had to amputate at a field hospital. But I'm back. Damn it.
Oh, Miro's back. He's like, I had to stop the plague in Bulgaria. Oh my God. Oh, Jesus.
Yeah.
Damn, man. I'm just glad to see Britt Baker back. She had some good lines. She was like, CEO, that's great. I bet she really earned those three letters. Bet she went to school. Bet she studied for 10 years. Mm-hmm. Bet that she did all that. And you know what? What a brilliant way to manipulate an audience into doing it by piping it into your theme, which I was like, thank you, because I hate that part of her theme song. Mm-hmm. Really hate it. And then Mercedes interrupts via the big screen. And I thought this was great because the CEO fits in so well with the elite.
Yeah.
And the elite signed off on Mercedes and they're like, oh, we're so proud of you. We love having you. Right. By the way, your celebration is ready. Keep in mind, this is so multi-pronged because Britt Baker was the first one signed.
Wow.
And that caused her to eventually turn heel, Alex. Like, everybody knew she was the chosen one. Right. She was the girl they picked. And as a result, the audience turned on her when she was first in AEW, and she made that heel turn. And now it is the EVP saying, yeah, I know she was our chosen one, but did you just hear all that stuff that happened to her? We can't count on that.
Right.
We can't count on that. And I love that Britt Baker, without them actually saying that, she made the case for herself. She's like, yeah, I might have been gone for a while, but I was at the first All In before AEW was a thing. And last year, while you were sitting up there smiling at the camera with a broken foot, I was wrestling. There was a great line, which is Mercedes telling her to get to the end of the line, and Britt does a callback to an old Sasha Banks promo and says, bitch, what line? And Mercedes goes, well, I can see that you're a fan. This was so good. This is exactly the type of back and forth that I want to see out of them. People knew it. People knew that Britt was going to come for her on the mic. But I think that Mercedes played this up in the appropriate way.
Sure.
I thought that she bit back when it fit. But she also gave Britt an awful lot of shine there and really let the shut the F up chance take over. Mercedes knew exactly what to do here. I thought this was really great stuff.
Yeah, really, really good stuff. I like her being like, I think it was before she even showed up, saying, with all the blood, sweat, and tears she put into this company, building it from nothing into what it is today, the women's division, of course, all because of her. Delicious sarcasm there from Britt Baker. I really like, I mean, obviously it was one of those things where Mercedes comes into AEW, you start naming off people you want her to work with. And one of the first names people will say would be Britt Baker. I love that they're giving it to us nearly immediately. You know what I mean?
Yes.
Like, that's really, really good stuff.
Challenge was laid down for All In.
Mm-hmm.
Which is a marquee match.
That's a huge match.
Yes, yeah.
It's a huge match, and it is for all intents and purposes a dream match. You know, like when Britt was in her first title reign, and Sasha Banks was still in. You know, people would say, "Who would you want to see somebody from AEW face in WWE, vice versa?" This was mentioned. So it's a really cool thing to be able to do it. And they have such a great obvious thing of like, I've been here since day one. You waltzed in and said, you're taking over everything, but nobody checked with me if that was okay.
Yeah.
That's some really good stuff.
I would love to see them, because I mean, we got weeks and weeks and weeks before this. I would love to see them play off of the injury history and like the stroke, like Mercedes does something to her. And like, we don't see Britt for a couple weeks and we don't know if she's going to be able to do anything.
Sure.
And Mercedes is proud of it. She's like, you know, I'm just ending what Mother Nature started here. And I would love to see like, even like a little, like in passing, like Soraya be like, you know, this seems to happen with you an awful lot type of thing.
Yeah.
Just some reference to that and just Mercedes remorseless and Britt coming back and being like, you know what? That ain't holding me down.
Right.
Lord Peter says, can't have heat for Mercedes Britt. No way Mercedes with her creative control counts the lights for Britt. Same way Will did for Swerve. Listen, guys, I very, very much encourage you to not take seriously everything that Mercedes Moné says in an interview. Please. She is very smart. But by the way, if you want to be a Lord Peter,
Blue Chew, main event performance, main event confidence, and a main event deal. Go to BlueChew.com and use the code FIGHTFUL, and you will get Blue Chew with their first shipment for free. Shipment? Yeah, I said shipment. No waiting in line at the pharmacy, no awkward doctor's visits. You take their online exam, and then if approved, it ships straight to your door. That's right. Same active ingredients as Viagra and Cialis, but in a chewable form and much more affordable. How can you pass up on this? How can you pass up on that confidence? How can you pass up on that performance? How can you pass up on making your sex life better? That's what Blue Chew is here to do. You don't have to have a problem to use Blue Chew. Just get that additional performance. BlueChew.com and the code FIGHTFUL.
Guys, leave a thumbs up on this video as always. Get your super chats. Get your humper chats in like our friend Zach Schimmel did. He says, remember when the women's division in AEW was struggling real bad? I remember. He says, it's come a long way and they all feel important. Britt and Mercedes was one of the best promos in AEW's women's history. I think so. Yeah, I think it probably was. It was one of the most effective women's promo segments that we've seen.
Yep.
Yeah. We also have Sean Martin. Go ahead. Sorry.
I just think that there's a lot of women who are not currently doing a lot or are absolutely out. Julia Hart was doing amazing stuff before she got hurt. Jamie Hayter, if and when she ever comes back, she's going to be immediately back at the top of things. Shida came basically out of the blue to have that match versus Gianna Perrazzo, who's been doing amazing work on her own. And she's going to have this match with Mariah. I hope that they do something with Hikaru Shida after that. There's a lot of parity at the top of the women's division, and that's what you need. And it's really good stuff.
Sean Martin says it'll be Pac versus Jay White at All In. I'd prefer a one-on-one, but can't rule out a trios match to get the others on the show. You know, I think that's possible. I think that is possible, Sean. And Vicky sends some love, says hi, SRS and Fightful. Great show. Can we please have true violence at Blood and Guts? Then she brings up Moxley, OC, Darby, if he's healthy. Great that DMD is back. Moxley, OC, and Darby, none of them were on the show tonight, were they?
No.
I mean, those are three. I mean, Darby's been gone since Double or Nothing because he got kicked upside down and has already broken nose.
Yeah.
But, I mean, Moxley and OC not being on this show. No Claudio. FTR have been sidelined, all that stuff. Largely no Tony, but I mean, just a very small promo segment.
Right.
You know, they put on a great show with, you know, some people missing the show.
Yeah.
Go ahead. Sorry.
I also think that Moxley is the type of guy who just would say, you know what? Screw it. I'm on Team AEW too, because I don't like you guys. And also I need somebody to make me bleed so I can feel something again. After he lost to Naito, like just him basically saying, I need that in my life.
Juan simply says AEW, and Matt says Mariah May and Tony Storm have been baby faces for quite some time now. So it's baby face versus baby face dynamic. People don't want to boo either Willow or Mariah. It will be interesting how it's booked. Well, I expect one of those two to change with Tony and Mariah.
Yeah.
Whether it be Mariah May pushing her down the stairs or, you know, whatever it is to take over the prime spot as the understudy, whatever that may be.
Yeah.
Or maybe it happens mid-match. I think there's a lot of ways that they can play off of that.
There's a lot of time to build from whoever wins the Owen to All In. I think there's a lot you can do there of Tony expecting that Mariah will just, you know, go easy on her or even lay down for her, and Mariah being like, no, I can't do that. And that leading to dissension, certainly.
Yeah. Bryce says, gosh darn, what does a jackass like myself have to do in order for TK to repush Ricky Starks and possibly give him a major run with the TNT title or a story with Swerve? Besides that, Private Party needs pushed. I mean, they've given Private Party a few opportunities. I think that the promo skills have to get on the level in that sense. But also, it's been hard to keep them healthy at the same time, which is very, very unfortunate. That's been the biggest issue. Ricky Starks, I think they should bring him back, assuming they can, almost immediately after the Owen, and try to work him into something. Try to play off of what buzz there is and the demand to see him, Alex.
That frustrating story you reported about, you know, people who say one thing, some people say another thing about Ricky and everything. If he is willing to come in and work, get him in, figure out a way to do something with him, because he's incredible. Jack Perry's going to need somebody to feud with over the TNT title. Ricky Starks coming back, like a huge thing, and interrupting Jack Perry doing some, you know, Jack Perry, I'm the guy in charge now type of promo. And we get Ricky Starks interrupting him. The place would go nuts. And those matches would be amazing. Ricky Starks winning that title from him.
Scapegoat versus scapegoat right there.
And
Ricky can just be like, I'm just not a little bitch about it like you. Yeah. And then that kicks everything off. And I think it would go really good.
Yeah.
Oh, boy. I now feel embarrassed forever having liked the Jericho thing, because the first one I thought it was funny. I'll tell you what does it for me, Alex.
Yeah.
Livery. Livery is the worst part. Hi guys, like I get it. And like, I know there are some people in wrestling that say all heat is good heat. Listen, I have enjoyed Chris Jericho's work for, you know, 30 years of my life. And he well past the expiration date of many. If I didn't get paid to watch this particular angle, not be watching it. Now, there were some glimpses on Collision that I thought were good, where he talked about the wrist tape, and then he's like, also steal it, steal the wrist tape so you don't have to buy it. But I think he should have just completely dropped the voice. He should be like, hey, yo, steal this shit.
Yeah.
Stuff is
like, in here. For lack of a better term, code switching within the Jericho thing would be kind of interesting.
But I'm not comparing him to Eugene, but his delivery is that of Eugene. That's what he's doing. Man. And I'm not trying to say, okay, well, he's playing that role, because he's not. I'm just saying that's the delivery of his thing.
That is what they're doing. That's what he's sounding like.
Yeah.
But I don't feel like you can be the guy who's lost it to the degree that he's fully lost in this. I'm the one who can teach you everything. Everyone respects me, when obviously they don't. And so he's so delusional that he's blocked it out, and that you can be that while also orchestrating a foolproof plan to get Taz sent out of the building, and then attacking all of you people you're feuding with, and figuring out a way to like smuggle in some brass knucks and smash them, and then throwing fire in a guy's face. Like, it doesn't feel like you can be the master plan guy while also being, hi guys. I don't feel like you can be both things. Also, like, man, if Jericho was unbearable on commentary on Rampage before, this whole thing when he's in character on commentary, like, I just realized Samoa and Toa, they rhyme. Mute. And I did not listen to the rest of the time he was. I couldn't do it to myself.
Parker says, rather get a lobotomy than listen to Jericho on commentary, even if it's supposed to be bad. My goodness. Which, by the way, he booted Taz off of commentary as a result of an edict signed by the EVPs because of Taz making him feel unsafe. Real Take Wrestling says, in my opinion, it felt like the best episode of wrestling all year, minus Jericho. Loved this show. And then Samoa Joe, Hook, and Shibata beat the Cage of Agony, which, you know, is fine. Learning Tree attack after the match. And then Jericho backstage throws a fireball at Hook. This could have sincerely been on Rampage.
Yeah.
It has less stakes, which, by the way, if we're talking about Jericho right now, washed up rock star Jericho would be better. Delusional, crazy, in denial that he's washed up Jericho would be good. Like, play off of that in that way. Clinging on to Big Bill because he knows that he's washed and Big Bill is keeping him relevant. Or Brian Keith. Like, look, man, the trio's titles haven't been defended since Double or Nothing. Like, get some wins in there for them.
Right.
We saw that here with Joe, Hook, and Shibata. So at least they're building some undercard stuff here. But Dante says, Alex punching the air with this Jericho Hook story still going on. Almost ruined a great episode. Send this shit to Collision, TK. No, send it to Rampage.
Right.
Send it to Rampage. And Carlos says, why would the Bucks do anything to help Jericho? He's the one that pushed them to turn heel last year.
I mean, I guess. That is true. I guess. Heels helping heels. I don't know. I mentioned this to you on the FIFA Select post show of Forbidden Door. I praised Jericho in a way, slightly.
Sucker.
Yeah. I did say that I think he can't hang with the guys, the types of guys that were in the match with him, that six-man tag. But I also said I didn't think he had it in him to be the guy who would be like, yeah, absolutely, I will lose to the young guy. I'll put over the young guy with the young guy hitting me with my own move and doing it better than I've ever done it in my life. Like, that is a thing that almost no wrestler would ever agree to. So I was like, I'm certainly praising this one action. And I did say, I reserve the right by Wednesday to go back on all of this. And I am. I'm doing that right now. I'm going back on all of it because he only agreed to that thing where Hook hit the Judas effect on him, because that would give him license to then declare war on Hook and have him be attacked by his little minions, hit with brass knuckles, strapped with the FTW belt, put through a table, and then had fire thrown at his face. To extend this whole thing, like, all I wanted, once Hook found Joe and Shibata, all I wanted was for them to get away from Jericho, go on a run, win the trios titles. They're amazing together. But that Jericho vortex, man, just when you think you're out, he pulls you back in. And that is a problem, I think, for everybody.
This has already been going on for over 4.5 months. This story.
Just stop it, man.
Just four and a half months. Whew. Meet Norma says, Jericho segments are my bathroom break, live or on the couch. I love more women's involvement. Or God forbid, mother effing Danhausen. Yeah, like, why isn't Danhausen on this damn show? But yeah, the Sheeta versus Mariah May could have been right here.
Yeah, for sure.
Joe O'Toole says, like Mox is a choice with the Bucks being rude to Renee. Yeah, I mean, Moxley would be great.
It doesn't take much to piss off John Moxley. If it's just that they're rude to Renee, it's like, for no other reason, I'm going to kick your guys' asses.
You know who? Okay. I'll talk about who I want the fifth to be if it's not Hangman enough shortly. Jules Max says, awesome show. Just sending love for all that you do. Well, thank you so much. Well, then we got the wild card. We got Jeff Jarrett, who was interviewed and was just like, nope, not talking right now. I'm in the zone, chief. Walked out. They played up how important this was. And man, this was my favorite Jeff Jarrett match in a very, very, very long time. Hangman Page made his return with new theme music.
That new theme music is so, it sounds like the theme that plays for the Black Hat villain in an old Western.
It's
like
real
an
good.
Old 1960s spaghetti Western. Whenever like he walks out into the middle of town and just slowly turns and you get the sun coming in and that music hits, it's perfect for the old bad guy gunfighter. It's amazing.
And his old theme for me personally, a top five of all time. It was a slapper. I loved it. This new one fits him so well.
Yeah.
So Hangman Page is back. FightfulSelect.com, best $5 in the business, reported a couple times that his return date was the first week of July. That's been the plan ever since he left. They went into that Revolution match knowing that he was going to be off March, April, May, June. And he's back. And he is back as the Young Bucks' chosen wild card. Sawyer said, I'm a Hangman homer for life and was ecstatic for his return tonight. Yet AEW had me rooting for Jeff Jarrett in 2024. Unbelievable night of storytelling. Yeah, like I knew there was no chance that Jeff Jarrett was winning this match. I was pretty sure that from the time they did the promo, there wasn't a chance he would win that match. But they gave you a reason to, first off, boo Hangman, cheer Jeff Jarrett. And by God, Alex, when Jeff Jarrett countered the buckshot lariat and applied a sharpshooter, that I think will be his defining moment in AEW. Like that was such a great moment, a great like sort of false finish for this match, in my opinion.
I think Jarrett got entirely too much offense. I think it should have been a squash.
Really?
Yeah, I think it's more important for Hangman to look like he will murder Bryan Danielson to get through. He's gonna fight Jay White, an old nemesis. But honestly, all I see is a guy I've got to destroy to get to what I need, which is to murder Swerve Strickland in London, England. We have to feel after tonight with all of that swell of ground, that groundswell of stuff for Jarrett and how much we're rooting for him. Like that doesn't matter at all. To Hangman, he's coming in there. He's going low, like hitting, like kicking the kneecap and just wrenching on stuff. And he won't settle for one buckshot Larry. He's got to do another and another, like all this stuff to really make him this thing. To me, if he struggled, and he did feel like he struggled with old Jeff Jarrett, I don't know how I'm supposed to believe that he can beat even broken down the very best wrestler who's ever lived.
I
wanted to see more viciousness from Hangman.
I didn't have a problem with this whatsoever, and I'll tell you why. Jeff Jarrett saying that basically this he's doing everything that he could to be as good as he was once. I mean, that was the promo line. It was like 75-25. That might be generous. 75-25 offense. Jarrett effectively got punches, a stroke on the apron, and the sharpshooter. Like there wasn't a whole lot more offense he got. And then after the buckshot lariat, Hangman Page did do that. He did start waylaying punches.
You're right.
And did a dead eye. So like to me, it accomplished all those things. It had Jarrett saying like the reason why Jarrett was giving this all is because he was throwing everything that he might have had left. We're talking Nolan Ryan in 93. And like he's an old son of a bitch, but guess what? He can still whip Robin Ventura's ass a little bit. He's still got a little bit left, right?
Yeah.
Like he's got a little bit left.
I guess
I didn't have a problem with it.
Here's the thing. Like you're talking to a guy who thinks prime Jeff Jarrett was bad. Like I've never seen it with Jeff. I think he utilized everything he could do to the very best of his abilities. You've said it. That he's like, there's nothing I could do when I was 30 that I can't do when I'm 50.
Yes.
But to me, that's not a guy that I enjoy watching. And so I've never been a Jeff Jarrett guy. But so that's coming from a person who's not a Jeff Jarrett guy. I understand the connection with him and Owen Hart and why that makes it special. But I think it's more important to show off Hangman and what he's willing to do and capable of doing to people. That's my own thing.
To me, I think, why not both? And I thought they did that. Specifically, the comparison you're referencing. Somebody once asked me the best wrestling advice I ever got. And Christopher Danielson said, I don't do anything in minute five I can't do in minute 30.
Sure.
And when Jeff Jarrett got signed by AEW, I said, well, he never did anything at age 25. He couldn't do it at age 55.
There you go.
So he's having the same matches. Yeah. Brent Lockman says, Hangman, sometimes you think you're Arthur Morgan, but you might, turns out you might be Micah Bell. I don't know the reference.
That's a Red Dead Redemption 2 reference.
Oh, yes. You know what? I've got the game and never played it. So I need to play.
That's
it.
The thing. You need to play it, but also you'd be you have to like invest like 50 hours of
game. Yeah. I mean, it's like a 2-disc game.
Yeah, it's a lot.
Crispy Chris says, great show. Wish Jeff Jarrett and Hangman was the final. Use Jeff Jarrett's history versus Hangman's desperation to get Swerve even more worked up, or would have worked as well. Yeah, no Swerve tonight either, right?
Nope, he's not coming back until next week.
So Swerve, Moxley, OC, Darby, FTR off this show. Like they put on a pretty good show with none of them, but
yeah.
Backstage, the EVPs are like, hey, Hangman, great to see you, buddy. So cool that you're back, and yeah, we brought you back and all that. And Hangman was just not having any of it, at least upon first impression, Alex. He said that he is not a puppet for the Elite. And he didn't turn them down as the fifth man. He just said that he's focused on the Owen right now.
He did say, I'm not your puppet. I'm not a child. I don't take orders from the Elite. I'm here to win the Owen and go on to Wembley. That's it. So you're right. He didn't say no, but he basically said, screw off, find somebody else. But yeah, they said, we need a fifth guy and we'd like you to be him. And he said, basically like, screw off, find somebody else. However, the reason he wants to win the Owen is so he can get his hands on Swerve. So my thought is, if he ends up losing the Owen, and so that's out of it, but then Swerve winds up being the last guy in Team AEW, then Hangman will join just so he can get into the match, so he can murder Swerve Strickland. Like, that's it. That's all he cares about. The Owen is a means to an end. The end is, I get Swerve Strickland one more time, because this time he ain't getting up. And if the Owen is taken away from him because Danielson does one of those amazing, I reverse your reversal into a reversal thing, then Hangman is left without any other option except for blood and guts.
So let's say Hangman Page doesn't join the Elite as their fifth man, which he probably will. You know who should be the fifth guy, right?
Who's that?
Shane McMahon.
I mean
that sincerely.
Oh no, I
mean that sincerely. It should be Shane McMahon. And there are very few spots that I say, yeah, Shane McMahon works there. Shane McMahon works in that spot. Shane McMahon as the fifth member of the Elite would be funny. Now I think it's going to be Hangman.
I don't want it.
Listen, I'm just saying. All of a sudden, we get these news reports. All due respect to PW Insider. All due respect to them. How are you overhearing what Shane McMahon and Mercedes Moné are talking about at the airport?
The last time we saw that man, he did a leapfrog and tore literally everything in his legs. I don't want to see him in a war game style match.
Man, that is my fear. Every time somebody asks me to wrestle a match now, I think I'm going to end up like Shane McMahon.
Yeah.
That's what's going to happen.
Yeah.
CC Bonbon says, men's mental health stories from you two, it matters. Yeah, staying off of Reddit increased my mental health positivity exponentially. Joe O'Toole says, Bucks for Swerve into Blood and Guts, so Paige will team up. I think that might be a thing, or I think it plays out as Alex mentions it.
Yeah.
Alejandro Garcia says, Okada costs Adam those two at Wembley for Okada's belt. I don't hate that at all.
Who versus Okada?
Hangman versus Okada.
Oh, that's inspired. Yeah.
That's sure. Real
because,
good.
Because to show that he's not the Elite's whipping boy, him versus Okada would be great for the Continental title. That'd be excellent.
Yeah. Eric says, the way I see this with Hangman is that the Elite is going to screw him against Jay White. Yeah, and I mean, listen, that would for the story work well for Hangman and be very, very good for Switchblade.
Yeah, I just don't see, like, would it happen behind Hangman's back and that he would never watch the tape of it? Because why would you agree to help the guys who cheated you out of the one thing you wanted when you came back? Like, if it happens and like, if he loses to Danielson in the finals and can't blame the Elite for it, he'll join them just to get ahead of Swerve. Yeah. I don't hate Jay White winning that match versus Hangman either. I just feel like there's so much history between Hangman and Danielson.
Yeah.
Like, I love the parallels of the guy that Danielson went the distance with is not this Hangman. That's a different dude you're dealing with now, Danielson. And also, as we see from all the kinesio tape and the cupping marks, you are a broken down man. You know what I mean? There's a lot there.
JP says the Hangman music made me think of the Bucks' new music. I assume he's still in the Elite. And then 10 minutes later, he sent a Humber chat that said, I guess Hanger is not in the Elite. Yeah, Should have waited for after the commercial to send that other music up. Hey, JP, I just want to say thank you for supporting us regardless. So big thank you for that. Pavement Cut Your Hair says fifth man will be David Avocado Wolf. I don't know who that is. I don't know who that is.
Avocado Wolf.
Maddie Nice says, with Hangman not joining the Elite, give me Dijak as their muscle. Great show. Just wish Pat got his flowers. Thank you all for the Discord. Man, listen, I don't
hate that at all. I don't hate that
idea either. And listen, fortunately for us, he's big Fightful informant. So
yeah, exactly. We want him to go to AEW so he can give us all the dirt.
Yes, and Tony Khan's bank card number. But
that's right.
The Discord over on Fightful Select. Wonderful. So there's a lot of times I'll be in the Discord and I'll drop like last minute scoops because I don't have time to write a full article about that. Like Britt Baker was backstage. I heard 5 minutes before she came out, she was backstage. I dropped that in the Discord tonight. I dropped, hey, Ricochet is not going to be on this AEW Dynamite show in the Discord. So make sure you guys come over and hang out in those. We might even do like an SRS scoops, like little channel as well. Tony P says, okay, we'll get to that. We're going to tie all these other ones into our last segment. Okay. Hear from our sponsors at Nord real quick.
How many times have you seen it? A big name wrestler gets hacked. They're trying to sell PlayStations or something on their Twitter. They need that NordVPN.com/Fightful. Not just for that, but all their sensitive files, their storyline information, their pitches, their private documents. You want NordVPN.com/Fightful to protect you when you're on the road or when you're at home. When you're at home, you can put it on your router. It protects everything. You can put it on your phone, laptop, desktop, PC. But on the road, whether you're at the hotel connecting to that Wi-Fi, the airport connecting to that Wi-Fi, the event center even, you want to have some protection for your devices, and NordVPN.com/Fightful does that. In addition, you shield your data from snoops and criminals, protect yourself on that public Wi-Fi, secure every device you own, and add extra layers of security to your digital life, in addition to all the great features we tell you about all the time. They also have 24/7 support if you need that help. NordVPN.com/Fightful.
So, whole lot of back padding here for FightfulSelect.com. Again, it is our lifeblood. It is only $5 a month or $54 a year. We have exclusive news every single day. I mean, every single day. Not only that, dozens of podcasts every single month, hundreds in the archives. I think we've broken over posted over 5,000 news items over there. So, probably well over 7,000 stories over the last 6 years. One of them was Will Ospreay. It was his idea to put over Swerve as he wanted to eliminate that talking point. Today, we had a bit of an update on the Daniel Garcia contract situation. Now, there were some people that say, oh, isn't that a non-update? Listen, we had like 20 people asking us about Daniel Garcia's contract status over the last 5-6 months, at least a dozen over the last few weeks. Here's what we learned. As of earlier this year, his deal was set to be up in the fall, likely around October. There's a top AEW talent that said, you know what? He's going to be around for a while. I'm pretty sure that he re-signed. And people close to him indicated that his future would be becoming clear very soon. So, I mean, obviously he's in a prime spot here, but he also got wheeled out today, which we're going to get to.
Mm-hmm.
But FightfulSelect.com will have a lot more on stuff like that. Let's sort of work our way to this because we got plenty to talk about here. What a hot closer. James Zimmerman.
What an amazing angle.
Yes, all of it.
That went through the whole show because it started out with Garcia saying, like, I swear on the life of my mother, I'm winning the match tonight. It had MJF coming up. I'd like to be in your corner. It had Daddy Magic say to MJF, you know what? I never liked you. But you, all the stuff you've been doing for Danny the last few weeks, you're okay in my book. Let's have a handshake. And he ended the night, Daddy Magic, bleeding out of a hole in his forehead, put there by the guy whose hand he shook at the beginning of the night. What an amazing angle this was for the whole show.
Get your super chats, get your humper chats in on this, which was a hot angle. James Zimmerman sent a very generous humper chat and says, thanks for a great show tonight, guys. Hey, thanks for being here. Listen, we went through an era where these AEW post shows, we... all due respect to Robert D. Felice, we had to get him hell off here because they were going to be 2 hours every night because they were white hot and we were all talking all night. And we were like, we got to get these down to an hour and a half. Then it got to the period where me and Alex were done in 55 minutes because there wasn't that much to talk about. Yep. When a show goes this long for us for Dynamite, you can tell there's some stuff that happened and some stuff happened tonight. You talked about that Garcia MJF segment. Then we got another one. There's Kyle Fletcher in the back. Now, I read a little bit much into him having a match, which I, you know, for a 15 match card, I kind of like that he got a squash on Forbidden Door because he just did his cool shit and pinned a guy. And I found out the reason for that is he had a lot of family there. They wanted to see him wrestle. They made that happen. But he was also featured in one of the closing shots of the pay-per-view of one of the biggest matches that AEW is going to do for a long time. Then tonight, he is in between Don Callis and Will Ospreay, as Will Ospreay says, listen, I appreciate everything that you've done for me. You got me the Omega match. Then after that, you got me an all-in match with one of the greatest of all time. And then I ended up in AEW. I owe you a lot, but I got to do this myself. And Don Callis says, you know what? Maybe one day I'll ask you to repay me. And what I like is, Ospreay has no reason to be like, well, that's scummy. He goes, yeah, of course, one day. And then Callis goes, Kyle, come on. And it's not in a malicious way either. No. It's just him being like, you know, I've got a contract with you. So, and then that causes Will to pause for like just a brief second. Both of them did. Mm-hmm. Both Will and Fletcher did. Yeah. But then they were both like, well, yeah, this isn't malicious. This is your business. That's all this is.
Yeah.
I thought that was a kick-ass start to whatever this was. And from what I understood, they were going to split this whole thing up way earlier. Mm. I love this because Kyle Fletcher right now is where Will Ospreay was a few years ago and where Kenny Omega was in like 2015 to me. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. He's going to be that guy. I love this segment, Alex.
I'm very much looking forward to the Don Callis family split. Whenever Mark Davis can come back, that UE thing with Ospreay and Fletcher and Davis versus Callis's guys is a really cool thing you can do with all of this as well. Speaking of Callis's guys, I love the idea of Trent Beretta as the main lieutenant for Don Callis. Takeshita, Roosh, looks like he might be joining at some point. And there was a guy that I pitched as a kind of an interesting thing.
Where the hell's he been?
I mean, he's got a match on Rampage.
I know. I'm just like, what? Feature this man on the show on Dynamite, which I mean, I get it, you know, considering the build of the last few weeks, like, but man, I'm just like, feature him after the MJF match.
Yeah.
But Roosh versus Commander on Rampage, as you mentioned, that is happening. But Listen, most people don't watch Rampage.
Yeah.
But most people did watch Will Ospreay versus Daniel Garcia. Holy shit, this was good. Now,
this is great.
Daniel Garcia is more of his own, but he does still have these sports entertainment tendencies.
Right.
That you know, he picked up from the Jericho Appreciation Society. But I actually liked how he did one of these spots, because I generally hate when people are like, yeah, go ahead, hit me. Especially in a contest like this against a person as threatening as Daniel Garcia. Because if you I think you need to convey that if you let them hit you, you are quite possibly handing the match over. You could get knocked out by bending over and taking a strike. And Daniel Garcia thrusting in Ospreay's face effectively to me was not just like, hey, I'm embarrassing you. It's I'm not going to take a cheap way. I'm not going to let you use that excuse either.
No.
This match ruled. I don't even know what the hell one of those counters was, like this weird midair crucifix spinning bomb. Yeah. I don't know what the hell it was.
No,
I don't know. Look it up on Fire Pro Wrestling or something. Yeah. It was unbelievable. This match was incredible. It ended with Daniel Garcia refusing to use MJF's ring.
Right.
And Will Ospreay winning. But this is one of those things where normally I would say, well, actually, we're not going to talk about the turn yet. We will save that for its own thing.
Right.
The match itself was, I think, a perfect main event for this type of show right after a big pay-per-view.
Right. I this was excellent. I thought it showed, you know, beyond a shadow of a doubt, to me at least, that Danny Garcia can be on the level of the top guys in AEW. I mean, if you thought that he couldn't before this, you were also wrong. But like this cemented it. Obviously, he's in there with the best in the world, Ospreay, and had a really, really great match and an entirely different kind of match. Made Ospreay wrestle a different match than the one he did against Swerve a couple of days ago. This was excellent. I loved every bit of it, but the finish. Now the finish itself, with like the crazy velocity that Ospreay got on that hidden blade, and the perfect timing of Garcia turning at the very last second, so there's no chance that he could have gotten a hand up to defend himself. That part was good. I think it took way too long for him to think about using the. I mean, either it's yes, I'm going to do this, or no, I'm not. You know what I mean? I've always hated that. There's like, do I want to do a heel turn, or do I not want to do a heel turn? I'm so conflicted. Listen, like it just, man.
As a person that was known to rub drywall in the face of my own teammates during grappling matches, I will say, sometimes there's that moral conflict. Sometimes you don't want to be a piece of shit. Sometimes you do want to win it fair and square, but sometimes you weigh and you go, you know what? Maybe if I fake tap real quick, I might get that. But I feel like a bad person.
Right.
I can live with it. Daniel Garcia has done a lot of bad things. So I don't have that issue with his conflict personally.
Sure.
But Greg says, see you in the Rumble, DG. I doubt it. I really doubt it. But I mean, this, what we saw tonight is why you bring in Will Ospreay, to raise the level of weekly television wrestling.
Right.
And make and provide something that no other wrestling company can provide.
Sure.
No other wrestling company can or does provide what Will Ospreay provides on a weekly basis. They have talent that I feel like probably could, but after this, Ospreay consoles Daniel Garcia, and then MJF does as well. And then MJF kicks him in the balls and beats the ever-loving shit out of him. I thought it was going to stop after the ball shot. It was nowhere near over after the ball shot.
No.
MJF is spitting and cursing and whipping his ass, and the officials come out. Here's the talking point that I want to bring up. And Alex, I don't drop a lot of F-bombs on this show. Mm-hmm. Glacier is a fucking coward. Why didn't why didn't that piece of shit Glacier whip MJF's ass with all the karate that he knows? By the way, FightfulSelect.com, $5. We reported Glacier does work for AEW now. Working hard or hardly working, buddy.
Mm-hmm.
Whip that ass, Glacier. Yeah. Blood runs cold. Freeze him. Throw a puddle. Some shit. Yep. What are you doing? Why'd they hire you, Glacier, if not to whoop some ass?
Yeah.
Rocky Romero actively wrestles, but listen, I'm going to let that go because he doesn't have superpowers.
Mm-hmm.
Glacier does. Look at me, Glacier. This blood that has run cold is on your hands.
Mm.
This is your fault, Glacier.
So
I just want you to know, little Danny Garcia is going to the hospital because of Glacier.
I think you should provide context for those of you who don't know about the Glacier thing.
Well, yeah. Listen, I know one thing. People sure as hell don't know Glacier from whooping some ass tonight. But Glacier was a Mortal Kombat inspired character in WCW who is now recently hired road agent for AEW. And I would like to say he broke this up, but he didn't.
No, he didn't break it up. No.
And it's his fault.
It's his fault.
He was in the first AEW Casino Battle Royale. He wrestled this year. He teamed with QT Marshall and Scotty Riggs.
That's right.
Scotty Riggs would have broken it up. Scotty Riggs is not a coward.
He would have done it because he's an American male.
He is an American male. Glacier, coward.
Coward. No, certified coward. Now the angle with MJF in the corner of Danny Garcia,
that was a good angle too.
Pep talking him throughout the match, use the ring, and then him offering the ring it literally cost Danny Garcia the match. And after Will has that moment with Garcia, who's overcome with emotion, crying in the corner, Will has this amazing thing. This moment of there's nothing to be upset about. You should be proud of yourself. We'll have another one next time, whatever. He leaves. And MJF says, don't worry about that. That's on me. The thing with the ring, that's on me. That wasn't you. That's my fault. It's my fault this happened. And I'm sorry. Listen, all these people still love you, Danny. Get up. And then he kicks him in the balls. And then he hits him with the ring. And then Daddy Magic runs out. He's got to be kicking himself because he signed off on MJF being in the corner. But then he takes the diamond ring to the forehead. He's bleeding like crazy later. Just repeated shots to the forehead. He's bleeding picks him up. Is this your boy? This is your boy. Showing him to the camera. Then he does
blood everywhere.
The tombstone off the second rope.
That was incredible. And I mean, how many times is a tombstone off the second rope even finished a match these days? It's a transitional spot. Yeah, yeah. And everybody around there, including Glacier's scared ass, sold the hell out of how devastating this is going to be, how important this move was, and how they didn't want it done. Because they were like, okay, this guy isn't even protecting himself now. This could break his neck.
Yeah.
I thought they did a great job. Everybody did a great job except for Glacier.
Yes. And of course,
Bill says Scorpion Ross Sapp, a feud as old as time. Listen, I'm not saying get over here. I'm telling him to get out of here.
Yeah.
Somebody says Jake Neal. It's not his fault. He was moving at a glacial pace. He was frozen in shock. It was just, ice that someone came out to help. Listen, it's bad enough that he sank the Titanic. I don't need to. Right. But anyway, Kevin Hale said an ongoing MJF Ospreay feud will be 2020's Flair versus Sting. I'm all in and beyond. Yeah, I think that Ospreay is such a phenomenal natural babyface, and MJF is so good at being a heel.
Yeah.
What I don't want to see now out of MJF is anything hokey. I want to see just brutal. That's it.
Him doing this, beating the hell out of him, the way it was. And then Christopher Daniels coming out. Why? Why did you do that? Why? Why? Well, MJF knows he can't beat Ospreay.
Yeah.
but he can beat Daniel Garcia. He's already done it. So if he gets Daniel Garcia to beat Will Ospreay, then MJF can beat Danny Garcia in the match that he set up with Danny Garcia at All In for the international title. And so this whole thing was a perfect plan that he laid out upon coming back. He even tricked us into thinking he was a good guy still. And Danny Garcia ruined the whole thing by not using the ring. And MJF was pissed about all of that. It's such a really cool angle also. So hopefully they're smart enough to keep Daniel Garcia off TV for at least a month to sell this beatdown. But he could honestly be off until All In when he's obviously, because Ospreay comes down, he's limping down to the ring and MJF runs away and then headbutts a fan kind of like, pushes head to head with a fan.
Oh my God. He got into it with a lot of fans. He got throwing trash on him and stuff.
So we're obviously getting Will versus MJF at All In for the title. I would love to see MJF, if he wins, Daniel Garcia comes back. And we can easily move Ospreay into something else. He can move back up the card, whatever. But the guy that Garcia takes the international title off of eventually has to be MJF. It has to
I'll tell you what he needs to take. He needs to take, I see it right here. He needs to take the Dynamite Diamond Ring, the one that MJF has won every single year.
That would be an amazing chapter in this story.
Yes.
And then I think when he does beat MJF for the international title, he does it by using the Dynamite Diamond Ring. You wanted me to use this so bad? I'm using it now. Is the perfect coda on this whole story.
And we got an anonymous humper chat with a really good point. It says, I think I understand why MJF has been calling himself the wolf. He was a wolf in sheep's clothing.
There you go.
The kindness was all a facade. Oh, that's good shit. Richie R says, I never realized how much I missed outright heel MJF till now. Goodbye to the people scumbag. Hello to the scumbag. Also, Hangman did nothing wrong. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, listen, I can't wait to see just Hangman Page and Swerve on the mic again. Like, Hangman's never beaten Swerve, has he?
No.
Gosh, like him saying stuff like, you know, I've done a lot of cruel things to you, but the cruelest thing anybody can do is make you think you got a fucking shot against me after all this time. He doesn't. Right. And oh man, I'm so excited. Richie says, I love how MJF is putting meaning back into moves. And Kylie says, Max versus Will at Wembley will make me one happy girl. Love both of these men so much. Dynamite was a lot of fun. Excellent start to my mini vacation. Well, I hope you enjoy it. Dynamite was awesome. Dynamite was a great show, especially when it closed with this. This is the type of show closer you can't always have, but you really strive for, obviously.
Yeah, it's an enormous angle coming out of Forbidden Door. To lead all the way to All In. Like that's and we're getting next episode. We're figuring out who's going to face Swerve, the world champion at All In. This is some really good stuff. We
not just that. The women's
side. We know from tonight, we're getting DMD versus CEO. And next week, we're probably going to figure out we're getting Mariah May versus her mentor, Toni Storm. Like it's all going to be set out in stone next week. Good stuff.
Over the next 3 weeks, there is the 2-0 finals. There's Blood and Guts. Ricochet's popping up at some point. We have not seen Moxley or Swerve since Forbidden Door. Mm-hmm. Like we're gonna see some stuff here. Like it's gonna be some good stuff. RP says MJF should put Ricochet through a car windshield. Oh no. Tony P says something tells me that Don is gonna set up Kyle and Max have it. And have Max take him out and corner him for All In versus Will. Also, well, I did have that and then it disappeared. I'm going to ask Louise to please put that back in our chat. There we go. Also, I can see for All Out as Will versus DG2. Yeah, I really wouldn't mind MJF like winning. Well, when MJF isn't going to win it All In, but happening at All Out could be big.
Will Ospreay, we've seen, is incredibly selfless.
That's true.
He might be like, no, I'm fine losing. It's going to be a huge match. I'm fine losing for the story. If the story is that at All Out, we put that title on Daniel Garcia. Like, if that's the story, maybe he's fine with it. I did have this idea.
Thomas Sandberg says MJF on Collision this Saturday after that angle is a really good way to try to get people to watch out over Money in the Bank. Keyword try. It's going to be very tough. Money in the Bank is, a marquee pay-per-view now.
But people DVR things. Like, it's just, know what I mean? Like, yes. So people are going to watch
it. Don't punt. Always try.
Yeah.
Make people go, well, I still got to watch it. So I like that.
You're watching Money in the Bank and you got your phone out and you're going through Twitter and they'll post a clip of whatever the hell MJF says. You know what I mean? So, but if for Jack Perry for the TNT title at All In, what if that's Ricochet?
Yeah.
Because the real glass thing, that's what happened to Ricochet. He went out on the real glass. So maybe there's your connection there.
And Simmons says a great layer to this MJF story is he actually has a point to be a heel because of Adam Cole. You can even squeeze in Cole versus DG or Ospreay because he can say, this is all your fault. That's what I mentioned the first night that MJF came back.
Yeah.
The niceness is a facade because the only reason he faked being nice, he faked it until he made it. And then the entire reason for him being nice showed him that undermined the entire thing.
Yeah. So exactly.
Marcus says, thoughts on doing Mercedes Britt at All In, then running it back as the main event of All Out 2 weeks later. I don't hate it. I also think it kind of needs to be a first-time match if it's Chicago. But first off, I like that it's 2 weeks later and not 1 week later. But
that's huge for me.
I do want to see a women's main event of a pay-per-view very soon. I do want to see that. I want to see you guys leave a thumbs up on this video. We had an interview with Simon Miller that Corey Brennan dropped on Monday. We've got a Tommaso Ciampa interview Thursday. And Joel Pearl is in Toronto doing media on Friday. So, guys, make sure you guys check youtube.com/Fightful and all of our social medias. If you can't subscribe to Fightful Select or send a super chat or humper chat, there's a couple ways you can help. Just comment, share our stuff. It goes such a long way. Also, send a nice review on Apple or Spotify, and that goes a very, very long way as well. Tronin says, heard anything about the 17th having a big main event going to Collision that Saturday? Now wondering if I should go to that Dynamite. I've heard rumblings, but I haven't heard anything from within the company. It's just been other people in media mentioning that to me, so I haven't necessarily heard it in the company as of yet. But listen, if they go this show tonight, next week Owen Finals, a major main event 17th, and then Blood and Guts. Boy, that is quite the July.
Okay, what if the main event of the 17th, set up by MJF, is Will Ospreay? Like, I'm gonna be at ringside to watch you with your big open challenge. Let's see what you're gonna do, Ospreay, or something like that to give that the angle. But what if the match is Ospreay has an open challenge, and who answers it? It's Ricochet.
Yeah.
Ricochet Pat versus Ospreay, the main event. Do it.
Pat Faruga says this is for the Glacier tweet. He shouldn't even call himself Glacier. I mean, Summer makes a coward of us all, apparently. He's more like Meltman from Action League now at this point, because nothing solid about him. N. Simmons says, if she's healthy, a hater return at All In to challenge Monet at All Out to get screwed over by Baker would be great, because that's the story for Baker. Yeah, I'm going to work really hard on a Jamie Hayter update, and I'm going to have one for you guys next week. I assure you, okay. I'm going to work on a Jamie Hayter update, and I will get something for you guys on FightfulSelect.com next week. I've had a little bit of progress. We'll see what we can do. But over on Fightful Select, there's this fellow named Alex Palowski who does post-Raw, post-SmackDown, Rampage watch-alongs, as well as post-Money in the Bank. Tell them about it, Alex.
Well, this Friday I'm out because that's when the fireworks are in my town, and so we're gonna do we can see the fireworks from our front yard. So we're having friends over, sitting in our front yard, watch the fireworks. Which of course is happening right around when Rampage would be going on. I'll probably just, you know, do a little thing as a recap maybe later in the weekend. But it's a packed weekend because we're doing a post Money in the Bank on Fightful Select, me and Kate. And then on this year channel, there's a post Heatwave show for the NXT show. That's on Sunday. And then we're back again on Monday for more spooky traumatizing of Michael Cole with some VHS tapes. So we're going to be doing that again back in our episode of NXT, and we just keep on going.
Dutch Main asks, will we ever see another pay-per-view in Pittsburgh from AEW? Yeah, I'm sure we will. Yeah. Or a pay-per-view in Pittsburgh. I think they want to go to some underserved areas. But guys, FightfulSelect.com, as always, an hour and 37 minutes. One of our longest reviews in a while. Yeah. It's always a pleasure. I want to thank our moderator, Luis, who handled all of our super chats and humper chats. Guys, until next time, we're out.